We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
My name is Chris Fluitt. I'm so glad to bring you the Word today. Before I jump into this, can we just say thank you to our great dream team that's working all throughout the building right now? Right now, we have somebody manning the front door, greeting people, providing security, letting people that show up late to church know that they're welcome and that we love them. We have people working with youth downstairs and the nursery downstairs. We have people working in tech. We have people that are serving you coffee all over this. People are working in the kingdom of God. I think that's awesome. I think that's worthy of celebration. Thank you so much, dream team. Make sure you thank people when they're working, okay? Make sure you're thanking people, okay? Do that. We are in the third week of our series called Check Your Balance. And we are talking about money, but we are not asking for money. Isn't that great? We've not taken up a single special offering. We haven't like guilted you and then said, now will you sign this pledge card for the rest of the decade? No, we haven't done that to you. Instead, we want to give to you, not receive from you. Number one, we have worksheets to help you conquer debt and produce wealth. They're in the lobby as you walk out. Some of you have gotten those already. You've already worked in it. Keep working the plan. Keep working the plan. You will see a change in your life, all right? We have those worksheets for you. Reach out to us if you didn't get a worksheet. We will make sure you get that. And then second, we had a free ebook for you to go deeper. It's right there on the screen, that QR code. If you want that ebook, you just pull out your phone, get your camera right on that. It'll bring up a link where you can get your ebook, all right? And if that's not enough, or if we're not giving up a lot of stuff here, a lot of added value, let's play a game. I want to play a game with you that me and Sarah invented when we were just dating, newly married. We call it the Neiman Marcus game. We call it the Neiman Marcus. Who knows what Neiman Marcus is? It's a store that you can find in the mall. And the game works like this. We walk into the store and we try not to call too much attention to ourselves, Regina, but we just walk around and we go, that blouse over there, how much do you think that costs? That's how the work games. And somebody says, that is $50,000. Somebody says, that's $12. And then we look at the price tag and we faint on the ground and we have to pick each other up. That's called the Neiman Marcus game. I went to the mall yesterday looking like a homeless man, by the way. You'll see pictures in a second, but we're going to play the Neiman Marcus game with you. Let's hear it for the Neiman Marcus game.
Yeah, Neiman Marcus game.
Hey, listen, our family can't shop at Neiman Marcus, but that doesn't mean we can't go to Neiman Marcus and play Neiman Marcus game. All right, question one. We have a t-shirt. There I am looking homeless. Imagine me walking around Neiman Marcus like this. Yep, not a single person asked to wait on me, by the way. I wonder why. But here is a t-shirt all over the place. I'm receiving answers right now. How much is the t-shirt on sale for? What? $800. What is the t-shirt? $30, $35, $50, $75. All right. The answer is that the t-shirt costs $128. Whoa, $128 for that really nice t-shirt. Next, we have up for your bidding on the Price is Right. We have the leather jacket. It is a really nice leather jacket. It felt great. It felt good. How much does that cost? What? $399, I heard. $500. All right, let's see the answer. The answer is $798 for your very own leather jacket. Size 48. All right. Oh, man, this is already too expensive for some of us. So let's go to the shoes. Let's just go with some tennis shoes, y'all. Tennis shoes. How much for these tennis shoes all over the place? Let's hear it. I've heard you. Don't yell it over and over again, son. What? Do it. $199. Keep it going. Keep it. All right. The price of these beautiful shoes is $1,090. I look at some of y'all. These altars are open for prayer later if y'all need to come You get this all figured out. All right, those are tennis shoes. So let's bring it down a bit. Let's go to flip-flops, y'all. Flip-flops, just some simple flip-flops. What am I hearing from the audience? Flip-flops. All right. Those flip-flops cost $545. They're classic. You got to have these shoes. You got to have these flip-flops. I mean, how do you live without these flip-flops? All right. Next question. We have a woman's hoodie that zips up, a hoodie in the back, a zip in the front. You can find this at Walmart, but they have it at Neiman Marcus for how much money? How much does it cost? Oh, wait. Go on. All right. The cost of this beautiful hoodie is $170. There it is. We got one more. We'll do one more for you. All right. So we've got some kind of dress. Here it is. What is this dress? What cost? What is it dress? What? It's kind of a dress. I don't know. They called it a dress. $490. We got anybody? Anybody around? $600. Here we go. All right. The numbers just start to not mean anything, right? You're just like, 1 million, right? The cost of that dress is $995 for that wonderful thing. Now listen, that's how we play Neiman Marcus, y'all. And we've never bought anything at Neiman Marcus, but we play Neiman Marcus. Now listen, if you shop at Neiman Marcus, we're not putting any guilt on you. We're praise the Lord that you're able to afford Neiman Marcus. But today we're going to be talking about something really important. We are talking about the meaning of money. What's the purpose of money? And I think we ought to think about it long and hard, not just when we're playing Neiman Marcus. Some of y'all are like, are you kidding? Spending that on that? Well, listen, we also need to think that way with some of our subscription services. When you think about that way and how we're eating out all the time, buying fast food, how we're wasting gas money, how we are doing these things. We need to think about this in all of this. Who is with me today? All right. Excellent. We've been talking about the three laws of balance, the three laws of balance. Who remembers the first one? It is that you need a reference point. And when it comes to your finances, your reference point is what? Spending. You got to look to one thing and you've got to be knowing where your money is going. And then law number two is you need constant correction. And when it comes to your finances, how you have constant correction is that you form a budget and you write it down. And if you're spending too much, you make changes to your budget. You are making a plan for every dollar you have. That's what a budget is. It's not a dirty word. It's just having a plan when it comes to your money. And today we are hitting the final law of balance, and it is that you need a clear objective. The objective in front of me is to keep this pole upright. Do you get that? Makes pretty sense. Makes a lot of sense. When it comes to your finances, you need a common goal that's really understandable and everybody in your household understands it and lives by it. How about that, everybody? All right. Excellent. So we're talking about clear objective. What is the objective of money? What's the purpose? What's the plan when it comes to money? I want to tell you things you can do with money. There are basically four things you can do with money, right? Number one, make it. Number two, spend it. Number three, save it. Number four, give it. That's pretty much it, unless we're in a Batman movie where Joker burns a big pound a round of money. But that's not what we're talking about today. That's next sermon series where we talk about Batman movies. All right, let's talk about it. Make all you can. Sounds pretty good. Making all you can, that there's some benefit to that. To make more money, there's something good about that. However, it's not balanced. If your purpose with money is to make all you can, you will not be happy and you will not be content because you will always need to make more money. You find that. So next, spend all you can. Now that's kind of fun. Like, can we get real honest? Sometimes spending is really fun. Sometimes it's really fun to go buy a gift for somebody. Sometimes it's really fun to go on a vacation. Sometimes it's just fun to say, whoa, I'm living large today. I supersized my chicken nuggets. I'm living large. I'm spending all I can. It's fun, but I want to tell you that that's not balanced either. And as we're going to talk in a few minutes, it is not satisfying. You will never be satisfied as you spend money. You can't spend enough money to find satisfaction. Third, you can save all you can. But the issue with that, there's a lack of balance there because you could become a hoarder. You become a miser. You become Scrooge. And you know what? Nobody benefits or enjoys it until you die. And then they're like, wow, we're so glad he saved all that money. And they're enjoying it in your name. What kind of life was that? That I would tell you that you can get off balance even when it comes to saving. Then there's the fourth one, give all I can. Oh, here it is. Somebody's like, there it is. I knew it. I knew the preacher was going to ask me to give him my money. Here it is. He said he wasn't going to do it, but he snuck it in there, Ethel. He did it. Here it is. Can listen for a second. No, that's not what we're saying. Give all I can may actually be irresponsible. It may lack balance to give all you can because you can give to the wrong thing. You can give the wrong amount. You might give while your family goes without. And God says that that's worse than being an infidel. There's a verse that says it. To not provide for your family makes you worse than a pagan, worse than someone who doesn't even know God, for you to not give to your family and take care of your family. Did you know that? So if you are giving to the extent where you aren't taking care of the people you're responsible for, you're out of balance. And God's not happy. So what is the objective of our money? Those are the only four options. That's the only four options. We are not talking about burning all the money on like the Joker. But what is the objective of money? You may be focused on any four of these things: making, spending, saving, giving. But none of these options satisfy, and here is why. I want to talk to you for a brief moment about hunger versus appetite. Can you say those three words? Hunger versus appetite. If you're hungry, what satisfies hunger? Food. Snickers has built an entire marketing campaign on this idea. Snickers satisfies. That's what they said, right? So if you're hungry, eating food satisfies the hunger, and it'll satisfy until you are hungry again, all right? But appetite, can I tell you that eating does not satisfy appetite? I prove this all the time because I'll have dessert, and then somebody says, do you want any more of the dessert? And I'm like, yeah, I do. I do. I'm not even hungry, but I've got an appetite for cheesecake. You understand? In fact, there are things I can eat on Monday, and then Tuesday somebody says, do you want to eat at the exact same place and have the exact same thing? And I'm like, sign me up for that chicken fried steak at Red Truck Cafe. Yes, of course. Let's do that right now. And it has nothing to do with hunger. It has to do with appetite. This is why the drug addict is always looking for another hit. They just had a hit, but they aren't satisfied because they have an appetite. Alcoholism, the same situation. Materialism, always needing to spend, always needing to buy. It's not a hunger issue, it's an appetite issue. Lustful habits that you're ashamed of and you're keeping secret. What is that? It's an appetite issue. It's why you can do the thing, feel sad about the thing, repent about the thing, and then turn around and be tempted by the same thing that you feel shameful, sad, and repented over. It's not a hunger issue. It's a appetite issue. Any addiction, all of these things are appetite issues. Appetite is not satisfied by indulging. Doesn't matter how much you have it. Doesn't matter how often you have it. Because of an appetite, you're like, yeah, I could do that again. Let's do that. Appetite is not physical as much as it's psychological. Your brain is telling you to go do that again. When it comes to finances, your brain can start telling you to go make more, make more, make more, make more, or spend more, spend more, spend more, save more, save more, give more. And you can get caught up in an appetite where your psychological is telling you and leading you to do things, and you will never satisfy the craving of an appetite. Appetite is not satisfied by indulging. Instead, appetite is satisfied by abstaining. Abstinence helps you satisfy an appetite. Everybody say it. Appetite is satisfied by abstaining. We got a screen that says it. Let's see it. Fasting. Who knows the term fasting? Fasting. Anybody ever go on a fast? You know what a fast is? Fast means going without food to pursue the Lord. That's basically what fasting means. And if you have ever fasted, around the third day, your appetite goes away. Your appetite, you don't even start thinking. That first day, all you can think about is your favorite food. And that will be the day everyone offers to buy you that free meal. It just always happens. You'll go to work and they're like, hey, we got free food for everybody. I got your favorite. never fails. But around the third day, your appetite goes away. Why? Because the answer to an appetite being satisfied is not giving more, but withholding and abstaining. Balance is going to require abstinence for you. When it comes to money, any area of your life that you want balance, it's going to require you learning to say no. You have to learn to say no. Now listen, this is also important. It doesn't mean you always say no. It means in a balanced, measured way, sometimes you say no. That also means sometimes you say yes. And you have to learn the balance of that. But if you are run by an appetite, you will never satisfy that appetite by giving it more. You will satisfy an appetite by abstaining, by fasting, by seeking something else instead of that craving. What is that thing that we should seek instead of that craving? For me, I'm telling you, it is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is being under his leadership, and it is then serving others as Christ would have me serve. For me, that's what helps me with my appetite issues. And we all have different appetite issues. What is your appetite? And is it throwing you off balance in your finances? Balance requires a clear objective. So let's talk about that clear objective today. Here it is. To understand the proper objective goal for your personal finances, you need to know how God views your money and stuff. So how does God view your money, your stuff? Now listen, this is where you could get all really antsy, because he's talking about my money, talking about my stuff. And right there, if you're already feeling that, congratulations, because that's exactly where we're going. Turn with me to 1 Chronicles 29 and 10. If you have your Bibles, do that. If you don't, we'll have it right on the screen in just a second. Listen. 1 Chronicles 29, 10. Here's the context real quick as you're turning. The context is this. For years, Israel was focused on worshiping God at a tent where the Ark of the Covenant was housed. There's a tent of meeting. And they would go there and it was the center of their worship. They went to this tent. And this tent was carried all the way through the wilderness. This tent was old. And it had seen a lot of travel, this tent. And King David, the same king that killed Goliath, that guy, King David sat in his tent. Did he sit in a tent? What do you think he sat in? He was king and he sat in a palace. He sat in a grand house and he realized, wait, I am so blessed to be in this house, this palace, this beautiful, opulent place. And my God is being worshiped in a tent. And so he decided to build God a temple. He decided to try to build something that was more worthy of the name of his God. And so David designed and he raised money. And when we put it in today's standard, he gathered about 14 billion in gold and silver. He gathered about 14 billion with a B in gold and silver. He gathered it by giving it out of his own storehouse and also inviting anyone who wanted to give to God's house to give. You see in the picture? As people came to bring God their wealth, David prays and he praises God. And in these words we're about to read, we see David's view of money and we see a clear objective of finance. So let's read it together. First Chronicles 29, beginning at verse 10. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting." Verse 11, "Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all." He says everything in heaven and everything on earth belongs to who? God. Everything belongs to God. That's his view of money. Not me. Everything belongs to you. Now, this is the king. Kings have a habit of saying, "Oh, that's mine, and that's mine, and everything's mine, and I'll go to war against anybody that disagrees about what's mine." But this king says, "It's not mine. Everything in heaven and everything on earth is yours." Verse 12, "Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all." So guess what? He says everything belongs to God, not me. Now he's saying everything comes from God, not me. It comes from him. Listen, we're working our daily job, but really our wealth and our ability to gain wealth, it comes straight from God, not us. It didn't come from the self-help book that we read. It didn't come from our gifts and our abilities. It didn't come from our intelligence. It came from God. Everything comes from God. And then he says, everything is distributed by God. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all, he said. So it is God now who is distributing the wealth, distributing the strength, distributing all the good things, not me. It's God that is doing it. Everything belongs to God. Everything comes from God. Everything is distributed from God. And verse 13, "Now," somebody say now, "our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name." Verse 14, "But who am I and who are all my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand." Powerful words. Notice, "But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this?" We don't deserve to be able to give back to you, Lord. We don't deserve to be able to receive from you, Lord. We don't deserve for you to distribute these blessings to us. Who are we? It's not about who we are, Lord. It is about you, because it all comes from you. So here's my point on all this verse, right? If everything belongs to God, comes from God, and it is distributed by God, then our objective should be to honor God with everything. If you only get one thing out of my sermon today, it will be these last words I just said. Honor God with everything. To honor God with your finances is our objective. To honor God with the money that's coming in, money that's going out, the money that's staying, money that's given. We're going to honor God. That's our objective. To honor God with our finances will require a lot of balance. We've got to be balanced in all this. It also requires a realization that you are not God. You did not gain it all on your own. And it is not you who distributes it, but it is God who distributes it. It also requires thankfulness, and it requires wisdom. I'm telling you, if you lack any of those things I just talked about, the balance of a realization of who God is, thankfulness to God, and a wisdom that comes from God. If you're lacking one of those things, then that is your big task over the next month. I got to get that thing. I've got to get thankfulness back in my heart. I got to stop living like I'm God. And I've got to get a wisdom that comes from Him when it comes to the things I have. You get that? I'm telling you, if that's you, if that's one of those things, that is something to come to an altar tonight and pray about. That is something to talk into an accountability partner at a small group about. This is where I'm at, and this is the thing I'm lacking. I'm lacking balance on these things. I may have these two things, but this one thing I'm missing, right? And unlike the Meatloaf song, 2 out of 3 is bad when it comes to your balance. Y'all like Meatloaf, not the food, the rock and roll artist. All right. Y'all, I lost half of this church. My gosh. What kind of church is this? You don't know Meatloaf. All right. So listen, honoring God isn't just about giving. It includes giving and living. Listen, I'm not going to be much longer today, but for the next few moments, I really want a transformative moment to happen in this place. The balance of honoring God isn't just about giving. And that's the sermon you've heard over and over again. And giving's important. Giving something that you're going to need to have this balance. But how you've heard it preached all your life is God is satisfied just with your giving, and God is honored just with your giving. And you've heard many, many sermons about giving. Not if you know what I'm talking about, but maybe you need a different sermon today. So here it is. Honoring God is about both giving and living. How many know the word tithe? Don't run out of here because I said it. You know the word tithe. Wave at me if you know the word tithe. If you don't, that's all right. That's all right. It's kind of a churchy word. It's kind of a very religious word. It means to give the first 10% back to God. It is a biblical term. It is found in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. I believe strongly in the term tithe. If you have questions about it, we can talk about it. I'm not asking you to tithe today. Don't think that I'm going to ask you to do that today. I'm going to tell you that it is a big religious deal, the idea of tithing. It is kind of a deal that a lot of Christians kind of slap their chest and go, ha, 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 I'm a tither. I'm not just one of those Christians that show up. I'm a tither. I mean, that's a thing. It's a thing. It's a thing. Y'all, if you don't know it, it's because we're just cool like that. We're not that way around here. Okay. It's a big religious deal, and it does honor God. It surely does honor God. But I want to tell you something you have never heard today in your entire life. Here it is. It is possible to give God the tithe and still not honor God with your finances. It is possible to give and tithe straight to the Lord for the right purpose to the Lord, but still be out of balance when it comes to your life, and God's not happy with you, and God is not actually honored by your life, even though you are tithing. To talk about this today, to illustrate this today. I've got a story, all right? Imagine with me, you're going on a vacation. Where are you going? Where are you going? You come up to me, you're like, Pastor, I'm going on a vacation. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. Where are you going? Where are you going? Where are you going? He's going to the Grand Canyon. That's so good. It's so fun to go to the Grand Canyon. Oh, man. Christian, where are you going? Where are you going? He's going to Argentina. That's going to be interesting. That's a long trip. That's way down. All right. Cool. But you come up to me and you ask, hey, I'm going on a family vacation. But you know what? There's one thing I'm lacking to go on a vacation. It's I need a good car to travel in and to carry my entire family in. And I know you just bought some kind of fancy car that fits all those Fluid kids. Could I borrow your car to make this trip? Y'all following me? When you come to you, I say, you know what? Sure. It's not something I'm just all the time do, but you know what? This is a good reason. And I trust you with my car. I want you to take this car and I want you to grab the trip of a lifetime. And then you, when you're done, you just bring it back to me. You following me in the story, right? And you take those keys and you drive off and then you come back. You're like, hey, I'm ready to meet up. Thank you so much for letting me borrow your car. Oh, go great. I say, did you have a great trip? How was it? Me and the kids, we had such a good time. And the wife, my goodness, it's been so long since we've been around, been away from the city. You know, it's so good. Thank you, Pastor, for letting me borrow the car. I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm so glad. That brings so much joy to my heart. All right, come on by the house and I'll just take the car. All right, so then you come by the house. And I go outside and I look. And the car is trashed. The car is broken. There are dents in this car. There are more dents than non-dents in this car. Somehow there are windows missing. I used to have an antenna. I don't know what happened to it. I'm afraid to ask. There is a really new feature. It's called a dragging muffler on my car. And I say, what did you do to my car? My car is ruined. And then you say these words. You said, no, it's not ruined. Look at the front bumper. The front bumper is perfect. Let's show what the car looks like here. You gave me 10% car. You tithed on the car. And you came back and said, listen, this bumper's perfect. There's not a single bug that landed on this bumper. There's not a single dent in it. I gave you this bumper just like you gave it to me. It's there, right? I gave you the 10% back perfectly. Now, what do you think is going through my mind at this point? I'm saying these words. I'm saying, I didn't want you to honor me with 10% of my car. I wanted you to honor me with 100% of my gift to you. I wanted you to honor me with 100% of my gift. You see where we're going with this? Who sees where we're going? Here's where we're going. Christians, we cannot tell God, I gave 10%. Now I can do whatever I want with the other 90. God, I was really disciplined and I managed and I was a good steward of the 10%. Now, just ignore the fact that I was absolutely terrible at spending the rest. And I spent it on materialism. Or I didn't take care of my family with the rest of it. Or I was so miserly, I had opportunities to help others, but I saved it like Scrooge McDuck. I can do whatever I want with 90%. We in the church have done that when it comes to our finances. We say we gave our 10% or whatever percentage we give in our offerings, and then we don't take care of the rest. And we think God is going to bless us because of the small percentage we gave, but God is interested in what you do with everything he has given you, with everything he has distributed to you. What does this mean? Okay, listen. This means that it's not a percentage thing. Tithe is a percentage, but honoring God is not a percentage. Honoring God is all the things, all the stuff, all that we do with it. As we make the money, we honor God. As we spend the money, we honor God. As we save the money, we honor God. As we give the money, we honor God. We honor God with all of it because all of it came from God. Listen, I was raised in church, and I'm so thankful that I was raised in church. No church is perfect. And I was taught how to honor God with the 10%, with the tithe. But I was not taught how to honor God with the rest. And in these last closing moments today, I want to talk to you about having a heart to honor God with all that you have been given, all that you have, all that you're going to receive, and to honor him with all of it. I want to remind you, things you can do with money. Do you remember those things? You can make it. You can spend it. You can save it. You can give it. So your purpose now, your clear objective, that keeping the pole upright, is that you honor God as you make it, as you spend it, as you save it, as you give it. Your goal is to honor God with all of it. So listen, whoa, wait a second. Don't you dare, do not dare give money to Redemption Church and let your friends go hungry or your children go hungry. Do not dare do that. Don't dare do it, okay? If that's the money you need, I'll even make a bargain with you. Give it to the church and ask us how much you need back, and we will give you what you need. That way both of us are giving. That's a big deal. Now listen. I'm not giving you back what you gave. No, I'm giving you a brand new gift. You gave me that gift to the Lord. I give you this gift back. Now, God bless his giving. So that's how big we are on it. One day I had a phone call. Sweet people. People that gave generously. And then they said, Pastor, we are so embarrassed about the situation that we're in. If we need money and we are about to lose our house, there might be a foreclosure on our house because we've got a certain amount of money we need and we just paid our tithes. And I don't even like the term paying. Ugh, it gets me weirded out. We gave our tithe. Is there any way we can have that back? Here's how I handled that. I said, no, don't hang up. Yell at me. The first words out of my mouth are this. You can't have it back because you gave it to the Lord. But I can give you what you need. Ask. I'm not going to rob you from your giving, but don't rob me from the ability to give. Right? It's not a loan to give. So we need to learn how to give. God blesses that. God's all into that. But do it in a way that honors God. Don't you feel like God was honored in that approach? Yeah. That was awesome. It's one of my favorite ministry stories I don't get to tell very often. But that's one of them. Because we honor God with all of it. That means you can go to a job you hate, give God honor. That means that you can have a terrible bill in your hand and go, ah, somebody hit our car this week. And then it was so dumb. They went with insurance to get it. It was like a little ding and they hit me and it was just so stupid. But you know what? Even as that money is like leaving my hand or whatever, somehow it's leaving my hand because the insurance is going to make sure it does, right? You know this. But even as it leaves my hand, even as it's spending, I'm not angry. God, I thank you for it. All my needs are covered. All my needs are taken care of. God, I honor you as I'm giving. I'm honoring you even as I'm pumping this gas for $1 million, pumping the gas, right? And we can be stressed out by our money, or we can be praising God and thanking God and honoring him and then saving it, not saving it as a miserly way, not saving as no, 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 penny pincher. No, 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 you can't have candy ever. No, kids, no, none of these things. Let me tell you, and sometimes sometimes that can get a little wonky because you can be that way. You can be maybe not that way with your family, but then be totally that way when it comes to missions, or be that way when it comes to ministry, be that way when it comes to your job and giving other people a raise. You've got to learn how to honor God in all the areas of saving and giving. You have to allow money to stay in your hand, but you also have to learn how to let money leave your hand through giving, not looking for a thing in return, but giving. So I want to ask you this as our musicians come today. Here's the question. What if we honored God with everything? What would that look like? How would that be different for us? What if we honored God by looking at our spending, by making a budget, by spending, saving, giving, earning? What does that look like? How do we do that? I'm going to tell you, it requires asking Him. You can read some really good books out there. Dave Ramsey is a must. Go check out that book. Love it. But when it comes to honoring God with everything, it requires asking God. That means prayer. That means reading the Bible. That means studying and looking. God, what is it that you would like me to do to honor you with my wealth? It requires thanking Him. You cannot have a bitter spirit over the money leaving your hands. You cannot have a haughty spirit out of the money coming into your hands. You have got to be a thankful Christian person that is thankful to God. And then you need to tell Him everything has come from you already. That needs to be a conversation you have when you're worshiping Him in the morning, when all the world is kind of going crazy around Him. You just say, God, it all comes from you. I'm trusting in you. I'm not going to fear because it comes from you. And just by saying that, just by realizing it, just by making those words come out of your mouth, you are honoring God above the problem. You're honoring God above the electricity bill. You're honoring God above the fear. You're honoring God above inflation. I can't stand inflation numbers. They're scary. They're big numbers. But guess what? Your thankfulness percentage ought to be above the level of inflation. You ought to be a thankful people, and everything came from you. So what? You talk to God. How do you think God's going to respond? Here's what I want to tell you today. This is not a one-size-fits-all answer. I cannot tell you all what God is going, how God is going to respond to you. Some of you will talk to God and you'll realize, I need to give more. Some of you might actually talk to God and He says, you know what? You need to rethink how you're giving. He might tell you that. He might tell you to save more. He might tell you that saving money has become an idol for you and you need to repent of it. He might tell you to quit wasting your finances. He might tell you to cancel some of your subscriptions. He might tell you that you should downsize. He might tell you that you need to enjoy your money more and maybe upsize for a change. He's going to tell you these words, perhaps. Do not be stingy with your spouse. Do not control your spouse. Do not use money to control your spouse. Don't do it. He might tell you that. He might also tell you to be more disciplined when it comes to your spending. Because you're a married couple, one of you might be really on board and one of you is a little off balance. The one that's off balance, listen, he might tell you to work on your balance, to work on it because it's become a problem. It can become a problem in your marriage and it can keep your marriage from living in the balance God has for you. And he might just tell you to start enjoying the things he's given you. It could be that money has become such an idol for you, you don't even enjoy it. Maybe that's what God wants to talk to you about. Your balance in this area requires a God focus and relationship. If we don't get this God focus and relationship, we will be out of balance. Money could become our God and we will be slave to our appetite. And then the worst is this. God could be ultimately dishonored by our money habit. Who wants to honor God today? Is that something that's in your heart? Oh, what's more important? a financial raise, or to honor God? What's more important, digging out of debt or honoring God? Oh man, it really is. What's more important? I'm told that I have to give versus I just love to honor God. What's more important? These are the things I want us to think about. To honor God, all we have. So it's time to make your move. It's time for you to act. We're going to hit these real quick. But before I do, I want to tell you this. Listen. I like for you to believe differently and work on our belief. I gave you some different things to believe and think differently. But ultimately, God wants you to do more than think differently. He wants you to act differently. And if we go through this great series and you learned a lot of little thoughts, little quotes, and little words to say about the subject of finances, we've really failed you. Because the real power happens when you act differently, when you live differently, when you start to act out the honor to God. That is where the real change happens. I'll take your amen. It's so cool for you to amen me. But what's really awesome is when it shows up on Monday and Tuesday, an honor for God. And on Wednesday and a Thursday, sitting down with your kids and showing them how to honor God. And then you get to payday on Friday and you look at that check and it might be less than you wanted. It might be more than you wanted. But either way, you're saying, God, it all comes from you and I'm thankful. So action. Somebody say action. It's time to move. Number one, what is your objective? Do you really believe it all comes from Him? If that's what you believe, are you living that way? If you don't believe that, will you change that today? What's there worshiping up here? Will you begin to worship God and honor God like it all came from Him? Next, ask Him how to honor Him. With your money. Ask Him how to honor Him properly with your finance. Number two, are you a follower of Christ? Listen, sometimes we take for granted that people in this room are followers of Christ. People watching online, they're all, of course, they're followers of Christ. No, not everybody's a follower of Christ. In fact, you can call yourself a Christian and not actively be following Christ. Are you a follower of Christ? Make that step today. Whatever it is, that next step for you in being a follower of Christ, it could be as simple as coming up here and saying, Pastor, I want to be a follower of Christ. That might be your step. Maybe you need to know what repentance is. If you don't, that's your next step. If you know what baptism is, that might be your next step. It might be that you just need a simple Bible study. It might be when it comes to being a Christian. Maybe you've been a Christian in your faith, but not a Christian in your economy, not in your finances. So maybe that's a step you make. I'm going to be a Christian in that area of my life. If you are a follower, have you surrendered your stuff? Or are you a slave to your stuff? Last, number three, what is your next step? You know, if you know, you need to pray about it and take that step today, right? Number two, not sure, you know what you need to do about it? Pray about it. Pray about God, show me what that next step is. And then three, you need to follow through. So guess what? That covers everybody today. Everybody should spend some time praying about the next step you know and the next step you don't know. We're going to pray about this. These altars are open right now. Who wants to take a step? Who wants to go beyond belief and go into action today? Who wants to move in this place and ask God to move in their life? If you want special prayer, I want you to come up as close as you can to this stage. And that's going to let me know you want me to pray for you. I want to pray for you and see God do great things in your life. Come on, Dream Team. I would love for you to reach out to God in this altar and show us what it looks like to go after God with all that we are. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for every person in this house. Touch every person. Touch everybody watching and listening online. Bring us closer to you. Work in our life, God. Help us to honor you with all that we are. In Jesus' name we pray. Come on, let's reach out to God in this house right now.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemptionplano.com. We want to hear more from you. So be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, or even our anonymous text line at 469-651-1178. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.